Hello, everybody, and welcome. I want to talk about a very fascinating topic today, 10 signs of a bad client. Let me give you a quick preamble. This is not, hey, it's just a therapist talking and he's blaming his client as to why he can't help because he lacks skills. Maybe there is some part of that that is true for some therapists, and certainly that has been the case for me as well, but that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. What do I mean? It's very easy to say, you know, I would do therapy if I could find a good therapist. And you're probably right. It is hard to find a good therapist. It really, really is. Because all the 10 things I'm going to list today, these are problems with clients, but some of them could be problems with the therapist as well. And therapy is not like, you know, hey, I have this illness. Could you show me a doctor that specializes in this? Okay, his or her bedside manner isn't that good, but let me just work with them. Because therapy is a lot to do with bedside manner, which is really how you get along with the client. Now, I don't mean to say that if your therapist is loud and boisterous, then it'll be good for you. And if they're quiet and shy, they're a bad therapist. No, not at all. I think that if they have emotional intelligence and you feel comfortable with them, that could be a very, very good start. So let me talk about 10 problems that sometimes plague the therapeutic value, therapeutic relationship. And as I talk through them, I'm obviously going to be giving suggestions about how to address them. And some of them have to do with picking the right person to work with, or at least screening until you get that person, because I think it takes an average of, you know, between 3 to 10 phone calls till you get somebody that's the right match. And we'll talk about how to go about that as well. And again, my main point here is to be able to help you find the best therapist for you, which I've talked about in the past as well, but also more importantly, to help you be the best client, because many, many people like to complain that it's hard to find a good therapist. And I've often said that it's hard to find a good client. Now, the people that I work with are wonderful, amazing people, but they've screened me and I've screened them, and we know that it's a match. For example, there are certain types of issues that are not my specialty, and I wouldn't take it on. And there are certain types of dynamics. For example, let's say somebody lives in a state where I'm licensed, but they need in-person therapy according to them and me, right? So then I wouldn't take that on. But if you're a therapist that's kind of like fly by the side of my seat, just make it work, etc., then that's not necessarily the type of therapist that you as a client want to be working with. Okay, so let's talk about exactly what's going on over here. So 10 signs of a bad client. And again, these things are all fixable if we fix up the match. Okay, so number one is a client that lacks clarity. What do I mean? I always ask my clients, you know, what brought you here as far as what you're trying to get help with? And sometimes clients just have no idea what they want to work with. Well, I'm here because my wife said I have to talk to someone. Okay, that's a good start, but it's really not a very, very good way to get forward. So let's look at your life and figure out what's bothering you, what's not right, what's hurting you, and what are you trying to fix? So get a clarity as far as what you're trying to do. Number two is a mismatch. Mismatch means two main things. One of them is mismatch in the specialty about what you're trying to get help with. For example, I always say this, yes, I have a lot of experience with eating disorders, and yes, I have a lot of clinical knowledge about it, and I have great people that I could consult with when I need help, but I wouldn't take on a pure eating disorder client. I have no problem working with someone who has trauma issues and they've gotten support for that, or they have a history of that, and it's there, and we need to discuss it, but it's just not my specialty. However, there are many certain types of specialties like childhood trauma issues, developmental trauma, life transition things, depression, anxiety especially. Those are things that I have a lot of training and a lot of experience. However, there are also things that I need to get clarity on. How old is a client? What are they going through, etc.? So when I say the word mismatch, I mean two main things. One of them is the scope of what type of therapy they need as far as what the problems are, and also what type of modality do they have. There are some clients that come to me and they know I'm a certified EMDR therapist, I'm a trained IFS therapist. They might say certain keywords that I know, okay, they've done their research. They know this is the model that's going to help them. Some of my most successful clients have been ones that say, you know, hey, I want help with this specific model. And I say, okay, great. I'm very good at that. And they're like, I know, that's why I'm coming to you. Right. So, and then there are certain other people that say, well, hey, I want this model and that's not my specialty. So I might say to them, you know, where did you learn about it? And they might say, oh, I read an article. You know, that's one thing. Or I read a book, or I've done a lot of research, or I've done this therapy in the past and it's helped, is going to put me a lot further than just, you know, oh, my friend told me that that's what I need. Okay. Let's understand that. The second part of mismatch is personality. You have to feel comfortable with the clinician that you're working with. That doesn't mean that they have to be the most perfect human being on planet Earth, because, little secret, us therapists are not perfect human beings. However, we are people that, many of us, have very big hearts, and we care about people, and we want people to be able to have better lives. So that match should take place in understanding the personality and modality that you want, and understanding the way that the two of you interact. Maybe part of that is also, do you need to be seen in person? Do you want to be seen on the phone? Do you want to be seen over telehealth? But that's something that I would put some thought into. Number three is uncommitted. What does the word uncommitted mean? Now, nobody wants to suffer, but and part of uncommitted is also a lack of hope, I want to say. So once you get the clarity of what issues you really want help with, not because your partner sent you here, but because you are here, and once you get the clarity of, as far as what modality you want. Now, by the way, you might say, well, Joe, I have no idea what modality I want. So that's fine. That's okay. There are many, many clients that don't know. I like to try to give my clients a little bit of a taste, a little bit of a menu of here's a few ideas, because some people are more cognitively based and they might do very, very well with cognitive behavioral therapy. Some of them might do better with DBT skills, and some of them might do better with certain trauma-informed interventions. A lot of people get scared when they hear the word trauma, by the way. So that's also something to be sensitive about. I know I'm talking really quick because I want to cover all 10. So uncommitted means, for whatever reason, they're in pre-contemplation mode or whatever it is, there's something stopping them from making that move forward. Maybe they're uncommitted because, see, I don't want to say it's only a motivation issue. It could be that just they're uncommitted because there's a lack of financial clarity about, you know, how much is this going to cost? What is my insurance paying? What is a clinician charging? There's something going on in my life that's an emergency that makes it that I can't be committed. It's not necessarily a bad thing of like, oh, you're just not motivated. I don't want to work with you. For whatever reason, there's a lack of commitment, and that needs to be understood. But that is something that I see going wrong. And I usually see it where like people like schedule, but they don't want to get rid of you, but they don't want to like just tell you they're not going to come. And if I have a client that cancels twice in a row, I kind of call it out and I just say, what's going on? First of all, I don't have time to deal with, you know, that. And second of all, I don't feel like it's productive. If you're not going to show up usually about once a week, maybe sometimes even twice a week if it's intense and we need to go through, you know, that type of intense work, then to me that shows there's some reason that they're not committed for whatever reason. Again, I'm not judging it, but I want to understand that. Number four is lack of responsibility. A lot of people think, especially the old-fashioned therapists and especially some not well-trained therapists, have fed into this idea of, you know, therapy is a place to vent and to complain about all the miserable people that have hurt you in your life. So that usually backfires. Therapy is about, in my opinion, therapy is about taking responsibility for making a better life for yourself, getting on a better exercise regimen, getting to sleep at a better time, fixing the relationship or leaving the relationship. If, again, obviously I'm not making that decision on the first time that we meet, but, you know, empowering you to live your best life and to make your best decisions. And obviously there are certain areas that are outside the scope. For example, let's say somebody comes in and they are thinking about ending a relationship. Obviously, to a certain degree, I would help them with the mental health parts, but I would also defer to what their process would look like. Maybe there's some spiritual leader that they want to talk to about making this decision, whether they're Jewish, Muslim, Catholic, whatever it is, Christian, whatever their religious beliefs are about, you know, relationship ending with their parent, with their spouse, with their child, whatever it is, right? But I'll help them with the mental health part. So when I say the word lack of responsibility, I mean just a lack of focus of therapy is about you being empowered and you making changes and choices in your life. Number five is lack of follow through. Again, this is part of the lack of responsibility, but sometimes there is responsibility, but just, you know, we're coming up with homework assignments, and I've been doing this for a while. And sometimes I've had clients that come in and say, it's not working. And I say, what's not working? And we go through what's not working. And what's not working is that they didn't apply or do anything that we talked about. Now, there might be a reason for that. So that's what we'll discuss and explore together. But that lack of follow through is kind of like trying to bake a recipe and then just not doing anything and complaining that it didn't come out. Again, sometimes the task was too overwhelming and there's a good reason that they didn't follow through. So this is not blame the client. This is just how to be the best client. And these are 10 bad signs that you're being a bad client and how to fix them. Number six is lack of communication. Again, you can't really blame if a client comes in. You know, I one time had a client that, you know, wasn't communicating with me very well. And he's like, you know, I have to admit, I'm not communicating with you very well. And I said, yeah. And he's like, but you have to admit that that's the reason I came to you. And I said, yes, exactly. Well said. So let's work on that. And we actually were very successful together after that conversation, I think. So does he. Okay, number seven is lack of honesty. Again, you know, we're only as sick as the secrets we keep. I learned this from Dr. Michael Friedman, a good friend of mine, who I worked with for many, many years, good person. And he was an addictions counselor. And, you know, really, he is an addictions counselor, a really, really good one as well. And he always says that we're only as sick as the secrets we keep. And that lack of honesty sometimes could really, really plague the therapeutic relationship. And clients have to figure out and look inside and maybe even work with the therapist as to why they can't be honest with the therapist. Number eight, it's kind of like going to the doctor and not giving them all your symptoms. So they can't really help you if you don't tell them all the symptoms. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention. Like, what are you doing here? Oh, nothing. All right. Okay. Number eight, I don't see what I wrote, so I have to make up something. Lack of goals. Yes, that's a huge one. You know, again, two things I've learned from Dr. Friedman. I just quoted the secret part, but the second thing he always says is that's a dream, not a goal, right? A lot of clients have dreams, right? Let's be realistic. Let's make goals together. And I really, really see that as important. My first or second session, I always ask clients, what are your goals? What are you hoping to accomplish? And I often review that with a client and look at what are you trying to do? And sometimes it moves and it has to be a little bit fluid, but we have to work on goals because otherwise it just feels overwhelming. Like, what are we doing? There are too many things to work on and too many problems, etc. Number nine is lack of practice and lack of patience. I see this not necessarily is there an issue in the responsibility or the follow through, but just, you know, you have to go home and you have to practice it. Whether it's we're talking about ways that you could be in a relationship better, ways that you could be less embarrassed, ways that you could speak up at work, etc. You have to figure out a way to actually put yourself out there and help yourself really practice what we're talking about. And number 10 is lack of respect, which ultimately I find that if all these things are corrected, at the end of the day, there are just some people that just don't have respect for other human beings. And those are people that I find hard to work with. And ultimately, usually the relationship doesn't last, especially with the therapy that I do, which is really a way of trying to connect with people emotionally and understand them deeply and help them feel understood. When I work with people who kind of, I don't want to call them sociopaths because it's not that bad. Most sociopaths don't come for therapy. But when I work with people who just don't really care about respecting others, and it's kind of like, I'm only here because, you know, I want you to fix this other broken person in my life, we don't usually get anywhere. So respect is kind of one of my foundations, but sometimes it takes a while till that comes out. So at the end of the day, be a good client and work on these 10 things. So I started off as 10 signs of a bad client, but really these are things that can be fixed to help the therapeutic relationship. Get clear what you're trying to get in therapy. Get a matchup that works with your time, with your schedule, with your in-person, with your telehealth, with your phone, with your personality, with your modality, and you appreciating the therapist and them appreciating you. Get committed, number 3, so that you know what you're trying to do. Take responsibility for your own actions. Follow through on things. Communicate well. Be open and honest. Set goals together. Practice what you are working on. And work on being a respectful human being. I hope this helps your process. I wish you a great day, and thank you so much for listening.